By nature of who we are, mankind lives between two worlds, with one foot straddling our physical world and another in the spiritual realm. Every day we find ourselves struggling to carefully balance our fleshly desires with spiritual aspirations. Hello and welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm Dustin Roberts. For the next half hour, Rabbi Schneider is going to be continuing our study from the book of Romans. You know, the enemy can be pretty effective in making our fleshly desires seem more desirable than they should be. But it's only a matter of time before this balancing act wears us out. And so that's why Rabbi will give us some breakthrough insights and practical tips for overcoming the struggle between flesh and spirit.
One of the purposes of the law was to stir up the recognition of our sinful nature. And so listen now as we continue to verse number 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 7. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And then Paul asks, if the law is holy, righteous, and good, what happened? Because I see that it produced a death sentence in me. It aroused all types of evil passions in me. As I said last time, it's the same concept that stolen fruit is sweet. When somehow we know that something is not to be taken, when we feel that something is off limits, somehow it makes it even more attractive. This is what the law did. It aroused within man his sinful passion. So therefore, Paul says this in verse 13. Therefore, did that which is good, speaking of the law, become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin. In other words, it wasn't the law that produced the evil. The evil was already there, and all the law did was highlight it. Rather, it was sin, he said, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. So again, just setting the stage that knowing right from wrong, whether it's through the law or through your conscience, knowing something is wrong actually can cause that thing that you would want to resist doing because you know it's wrong. Knowing that it's wrong oftentimes makes it even more attractive because the principle of sin lives in us. Let me read it one more time, and then we're going to go on. I just want you to understand this is strong theological foundational truth, and we should understand this because Paul is setting the whole stage for the coming and redemption of Messiah by helping us to understand sin, its consequences, and how knowing the difference between right and wrong stirs up sinful desires in us for the purpose of convicting us that there's evil in us and we need a savior, we need deliverance. That's why at Yeshua's birth, the angel said to Mary, you shall call his name Yeshua and he shall save his people from their sin. So once again, Paul says this in verse number 13. Therefore, did that which is good, speaking of the law, become a cause of death for me? May it never be. He's rebuking any wrong thought about the law, that no one would think the law is a bad thing. It's a good thing. Paul said, may it never be. Rather, it was sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, the law is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. Let's continue on. For we know in verse number 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a flesh sold into the bondage to sin. And then Paul goes in to talk about this conflict that he's fighting all the time between these two natures, between his spirit nature, because he's born again and has a recreated spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the very life of God. So he's got the spirit nature, which he wants, which he agrees with, which he wants to follow, which is life to him. But then he also recognizes that he's got this other side to him, his fleshly nature, which is in bondage to sin because it's fallen, and there's this constant battle going on inside him. He's wanting to follow the spirit, but he also senses that he's got this other thing going on in him. He wants these other things that he knows is evil. For what I am doing, I did not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I did not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I have this great hunger and desire to please God, yet I find myself sometimes not doing those things deep inside that I want to do that please God, but I find myself yielding to the flesh and its corruption. And because I don't want to do these corrupt things, but I'm doing them anyway, I'm in agreement with the law. I know these things are wrong, but I'm in bondage. Lord, deliver me, he's crying out. Save me, strengthen me, so that I stop practicing these things that I know are wrong. Let's continue on. He says, but if I do the very thing I did not want to do, I agree with the law. How is he agreeing with the law? Because he knows that the thing that he's doing is wrong, and he agrees that it's wrong. He's confessing, he says, that the law is good. I know the law is right, but I'm doing this wrong thing. I'm agreeing with the law. So look at number 17. For now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So he's saying, when I find myself doing these things that I know are in opposition to the Spirit, it's not even me that's doing it, he said, because deep in my innermost being, I'm a recreated man. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I'm born of God. That's who I am. That's who I really am. That's where I'm going into this destiny of heaven. I'm a spirit man. That's who I am. So when I do these things that are corrupt in accordance with the flesh, that's not even me anymore. It's the principle of evil in my flesh. But that isn't me. I don't identify with that. For I died with Christ and I was raised with him as a new creation. That's part of the old man. That's part of the old life. That doesn't define me anymore. I break that off me. That's not who I am, Satan. You're a liar. I reject that. I reject you. So he says once again, but if I do the very thing I did not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So in other words, if you're obese, and you got an addiction to food, but you're born again and you love Jesus and you find yourself overeating or eating a lot of junk food. That isn't you. That isn't the real you. That's your flesh. And you need to break off the bondage because that's not who you really are. It's sin, Paul says. He says, so now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835 or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
For I know that nothing good dwells in me, speaking of his flesh, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me. In other words, the spirit is in his heart. He wants to, but the doing of the good is not. He's finding himself being overwhelmed by the power and desires of the flesh. For the good that I want, I do not do. He's really struggling here. He's talking about the plight of human nature and how we have to overcome the tendency of the flesh. He's not going to end here by saying, well, you know, I'm just going to lose this battle and the flesh is stronger than the spirit. That's not how it's going to end. He's just describing the battle right now. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Let me put it this way. Let's say that the Holy Spirit has put a desire in you to exercise, and it's really a Holy Spirit breathed desire he's put in your heart. You know you wanted to exercise. You know that it's good for your body. You feel good when you do it. It's a God-given, breathed desire that you have. But when it's time to exercise, your flesh says no. Like Jesus said to his disciples when he told them to pray, And he went back an hour later and they were sleeping. And Jesus said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. This is what Paul's describing here. So you know you should exercise, you want to, but you find yourself giving into the desires of the flesh and not doing it. It's this battle between that which is spiritual and good and the nature of the flesh. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Isn't this, I mean, there's like this dual nature as human beings. We have to fight to overcome because there's a principle of evil within us, and yet we're not evil because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, but in our bodies, in our flesh, there is still a principle of evil that we have to overcome. Now, why would God have done this? Why would God have given us this dichotomy in our nature? Because, beloved, he wanted us to overcome. And that's why, as I said earlier, seven times in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 specifically, Jesus said, he that overcomes will inherit this blessing. And then he went ahead and he listed seven different blessings that the one that overcame would receive. He that overcomes will eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. He that overcomes will sit down with me next to my Father's throne as I overcame and sat down next to his throne. God wanted you and I to have to overcome because it involves our will. It involves our choice. And love is a choice. Love takes effort. That's why Jesus said, what good is it if you can love only your friends? Even evil people know how to love their friends. We love people that love us. We love our friends. And why do we love them? Because we like being around them. We like the way it makes us feel. But to love someone that you don't like, to love an enemy, that's supernatural. So Jesus said, I'm not calling you just to love your friends, Gentiles, unbelievers. When sometimes when the scripture uses the term Gentiles, it's not referring to people that were born un-Jewish, but sometimes the scripture uses the term Gentile to define somebody that hasn't been redeemed. So in that particular instance, that's the way I refer to it. Jesus said, even unbelievers love their friends. He said, I'm calling you to a higher standard. I'm calling you to overcome. I'm calling you to love your enemies. And so this is why the Lord has given us this battle to participate in, because it pleases him when we choose life. We have to strive to overcome and do good. We gain something, we receive something. And this is why Yeshua said in the end of the book of Revelations, behold, I come quickly to reward each man according to what he's done. So the more we overcome the flesh and all the evil desires, the greater our reward will be in the kingdom to come. And this is what God wants to do, reward us. So he put us in this fight so we could receive this reward. And then Paul says, once again, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So I described all that. We conceptually explained all that's going on here. I'm just continuing to read verses highlighting what Paul said about this subject. But he doesn't leave it there. So let's conclude today with the last two verses of the book of Romans chapter number 7. Here's where the hope, here's where the victory is. Wretched man that I am, Paul says. He realizes this fight that he's in, that he's losing the battle sometimes, not that he's lost the war, but sometimes he's losing a few of the battles. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God. Here we go, folks. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through Yeshua HaMashiach, the descendant of David, God in the flesh. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, my flesh, the law of sin, but God is going to give him the victory. Who's going to give him the victory? Who will set me free? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he ends on a note of victory in chapter 7. Just because there's a battle going on, it doesn't give someone an excuse to say, well, God knows I'm in this battle, therefore I can, you know, just lay down and give up. No, God expects us to overcome. He demands that we overcome. Listen, you've heard me, some of you, share this before, but I love this analogy. Maybe you've read a testimony. I'm not sure if you receive this or not or believe it or not, but one testimony that that I read is from a man by the name of Bill Weiss or Weiss. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. He wrote a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. And he talked about when he first got married, he was a very, you know, strong believer, conservative Christian, committed to God. It was early in his marriage. He woke up in the middle of the night and he got out of bed. His wife was still in bed. He went into the kitchen to get something to drink. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he had some kind of experience where he found himself in hell. And in his book, 23 Minutes in Hell, he describes what it was like there. And I can't even go into all the details. It was so wretched. I mean, he said the smell alone in hell, it was like burning sulfur, rotten eggs, a foul feces. He said the worst smells you could ever think of all put together and magnified 1,000 times. He said the smell alone was so toxic, it would have killed you. And he talked about a time in his life as a young man when he was out in the ocean surfing one day with some buddies. And one of his buddies got attacked by a shark. And then the shark grabbed a hold of Bill Weiss's leg. And Bill said the terror of that incident was beyond description. But he said the terror in hell, when he experienced hell for 23 minutes, didn't even compare with the terror that he experienced when he was on the ocean in the midst of a shark attack. And when he experienced hell, everybody in hell, all they could do is curse God. Nobody in hell praised God. It was impossible. All they could do is curse him. Now compare that with heaven. In heaven, all you have is praise to the Lord. The entire atmosphere of heaven is praise. The music is continually praising God. The trees, the flowers, the everything is alive and praising God. There's no cursing of God in heaven, only praise. But on earth, beloved child of His, we have a choice. We can choose darkness or we can choose light. We can choose to praise God or we can choose to deny Him and curse Him. And we can choose to overcome evil with good, or we can choose to give in to the evil, and what we do will determine our destiny. And so we're in between heaven and hell. We have a choice on this earth, and what God has called us to do is to overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb and the Spirit of God. And this is why Jesus says in the book of Revelation 7 times, he that overcomes will inherit the paradise of God. So I want to encourage you right now, if you need to get down on your knees and repent. Maybe you've been thinking you love Jesus, but you've not repented of sin. Loving Jesus involves repentance of sin. And the good news, beloved, of Messiah Jesus is that through him, you can. So Father, we just open our hearts to you right now. And we ask you to strengthen us in the love of God and impart to us everything that we need in you to overcome every evil habit in our life. Father, we love you today and we give you praise and we say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Thanks for listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus today. And now here's Rabbi again with a special word right now.
Don't you love the word breakthrough? In 1 Chronicles and 2 Samuel, David said, the Lord has given me breakthrough like the breakthrough of waters. Breakthrough creates a path forward for us. Let me run through just a few of the areas that you can see the hand of the Lord on this ministry for breakthrough. We put a huge billboard right in the middle of Times Square above Good Morning America. We actually put 2 up. That was breakthrough. And then I think about putting a full page ad in the New York Times, focusing on, was Jesus a Christian or a Jew? And then I think of some of the opportunities that the Lord has given us, for example, to be on Fox News. And I turned it into a witnessing opportunity to literally challenge people with the good news of Messiah Jesus. When we travel around the world, whether it's in Africa, Brazil, wherever it is, we literally see thousands running to the altar to receive Messiah Jesus as our Lord. God has birthed this ministry and continued to create breakthrough for this ministry in ways that I could have never even thought of and have never created by myself in a million years. This past Yom Kippur, I received an invitation out of the blue to pray over and minister to the present president of Uganda, President Museveni. In fact, we've been invited to pray for the president of Malawi, over the governor of Nairobi, over the king of Cape Coast, Ghana, over the parliament of Uganda. I could go on and on. All these open doors in government that the Lord has sent me in and launched me through to release his kingdom and his authority over those that are ruling governmentally, both in the United States and around the globe. The reason I'm sharing this is to build confidence in you that you'll see, yes, there really is an anointing on Rabbi Schneider and discovering the Jewish Jesus. Because I believe that as you connect yourself in relationship to me in this ministry, you will then receive the same anointing that's on me in this ministry in your own life for personal breakthrough. I believe you'll be brought into greater peace of mind as you receive balanced teaching and sound doctrine. And so as I reach out to you today, I'm inviting you and asking you to come closer to us and to partner with the Lord by becoming part of the Discovering the Jewish Jesus community. And I'm also talking about honoring the anointing on the ministry by financially partnering with us. See, I believe that the anointing that we honor is the anointing that we receive from. As you get strong in the Lord, that strength in you is going to rise up and break powers of darkness off so that you're going to come into more freedom, more soundness of mind, and more peace. So, beloved, I want to thank you today for prayerfully considering becoming a monthly partner with us. This is a ministry that's been founded by the Lord. My life was saved supernaturally by him, once again, over 40 years ago in 1978. And I believe that his river is continually running through this ministry and it will help you in your walk with God.
If you would like to become a monthly partner, go ahead and give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com, or you can text the keyword rabbi to the number 45777. You can also call us at 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. And now to wrap up today's message with a special blessing, here's Rabbi Schneider.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over his people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them." Receive the impartation of the Lord's blessings. Yavarechecha Yahweh vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha vihunecha. Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up by his countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, his peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Rabbi Schneider continues this study from the Book of Romans. Learn more Wednesday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.